In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to do a study from the book of Judges about one of the great judges in that book named Gideon, and how with his 300 men he was able to defeat a multitude of the Midianites. We'll see how that happened. Before, though, the lesson we had previous was about Joshua saying, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve," and I think our lesson text says there's about 200 years that passed from the time that Joshua died and the time that Gideon brought these 300 men up against the multitude of the Midianites, and we'll have a little review of what took place in the meantime. Now, the devotional reading for this Sunday school lesson is Psalm 27, and we'll read that in just a moment. This is a Sunday school lesson prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of November the 28th, 1926. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's turn to our devotional reading from the Psalms. The inscription is a Psalm of David. And here's how the Psalm reads. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh, even my adversaries and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, even then will I be confident. One thing have I asked of Jehovah, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah, and to inquire in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me secretly in his pavilion. In the covert of his tabernacle he will hide me. He will lift me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. And I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Jehovah. Hear, O Jehovah, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Cast me not off, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsook me, then Jehovah will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Jehovah, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of mine adversaries. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. Wait for Jehovah, be strong, and let thy heart take courage. Yea, wait thou for Jehovah. Now let's turn to this Sunday school lesson text. We have some four lessons. Instead of helps and hints for the teacher, we have some four lessons. And so it's necessary to learn some of these lessons as we proceed. It's more than 200 years elapsed between the last lesson and this one. That was the death of Joshua. And we're in the book of Judges. The time of the judges, including that of Eli and Samuel, covered a period of more than 350 years. It is not known who wrote this book. Some suppose Samuel wrote it. Its events cover a period of nearly 300 years. What is most remarkable, it is a most remarkable history of the long-suffering of God toward the Israelites, in which we find the most signal instances of His justice and His mercy displayed. The people sinned and were punished. They repented and found mercy. Something of this kind we meet on every page, and these things are written for our warning. None should presume, for God is just. None need despair, for God is merciful. God commanded Israel to drive out these nations, to make no covenant with them, to have no mercy upon them, to make no marriages with them whatsoever, not to serve their gods, but to break down their altars and burn their images. If they should fail to do these things, and should in any way cleave unto the nations and make marriages with them, then these nations would prove a snare and a trap to them, pricks in their eyes and thorns in their sides. And then God would do to them what He said He would do to these nations. The book of Judges shows how this became true. God used these nations to punish the Israelites. In the book of Judges, we see that the people soon fell into idolatry. The author of the book of Judges introduces in chapter 2 the account of Joshua's death and show that the following generation did not obey God and therefore suffered the consequences. The people served Jehovah all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of Jehovah that He'd wrought for Israel. But they did not serve God so well afterwards. During Joshua's lifetime, some had their idols, but just before his death, as we learned in our previous lesson, they promised a most solemn manner to serve God wholly. This shows the power of a godly life. It was not only after the death of Joshua, but after the death of the elders contemporary with him that Israel fell into such idolatry. The influence and works of good men live after them, Hebrews 11 and verse 4. The elders were the leaders of the people. Neither these elders nor any of this generation were as much as 20 years old when they left Egypt. If Joshua was 40 years old when he left Egypt, he was 80 when he entered Canaan, and hence lived in Canaan 30 years. We do not know his exact age when he left Egypt. If one of these elders were only a year old when he left Egypt, he was 40 years old when he entered Canaan and was 65 or 70 when Joshua died. Some of these elders died before. Some died after Joshua's death. And the ones who lived the longest could not have survived a great many years, 20, 30 years. Some of this generation had seen the wonders of God wrought in dividing the Red Sea, in giving the manna, and bringing water out of the rock, the solemn scenes of Mount Sinai, dividing the Jordan, the walls of Jericho, and etc. They had not, it seemed, sufficiently impressed these things and God's commandments upon their children. God is commanded to teach His word diligently to the children, and so He commands us, and we need to do so insofar as we can. Of course, also, we need to remember the children need to receive these things. Well, somehow the baton of faithfulness and knowledge of God and dedication and resolve to serve Him was dropped between that generation and this next. And they did evil and served Baal. Now you spell that B-A-A-L. Let me tell you about Baal. He was the Balaam. Baal means Lord, a ruler. The word Balaam is plural and signifies lords. They're false gods. They considered supernatural rulers or governors. each having his peculiar district and office, but when they wished to express a particular Baal, they generally added some particular epithet, such as Baal Zephon, Baal Peor, Baal Zebub, Baal Shamarayim, etc. And as it has been well observed, the two former were adorned by the Moabites, Baal Zebub by the Ekronites, Baal Bereth was honored at Shechem, Baal Shemiram, the Lord or ruler of the heavens, was adored by the Phoenicians, Syrians, and Chaldeans. And whenever the word Baal is used without an epithet, it is this god that is intended. And probably among all the people, it meant the sun, S-U-N. The worship of Baal among the Jews seems to have been appointed with much pomp and ceremony. Temples were erected to him. His images were set up. His altars were very numerous, and they were erected particularly at lofty eminences and on the roofs of houses. There were priests of Baal in great numbers and of various classes. The worshippers seem to have been arrayed in appropriate robes, appropriated robes. The worship was performed by incense and offering burnt sacrifices, which occasionally consisted of human victims. The officiating priests danced with fantastic shouts around the altar and cut themselves with knives to excite the attention and compassion of their god. In Numbers 25, we see that this form of Baal worship was connected with licentious practices. They bowed the knee and kissed the image in Baal worship. There was another god, Ashtaroth. It says they forsook Jehovah and served Baal and the Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth, the plurality of Ashtaroth as Balaam of Baal, and probably for the same reason represented all female deity. Ashtaroth was most happy or fortunate. The supreme source of happiness was the female deity corresponding to Baal, the moon, or the planet Venus, as Baal was the sun. She was the goddess of sexual passions and was worshipped with licentious rites. The worship of this goddess was connected with prostitution and the most impure rites. And the Canaanites that lived in the land, they were not completely driven out. Judges chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says that after the death of Joshua, the children of Israel inquired of God who should go up for them against the Canaanites. God told them Judah should do so. While Judah seceded to a very great extent, this chapter shows that the Canaanites were not completely driven out of the country. Instead of driving out these nations, the Israelites formed marriages with them, which God had forbidden, served their idols, and joined them in their religion. You know, we need to learn that the church is to be separate from the world. We read this in the New Testament. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be to you a father, and ye shall be to me as sons and daughters, said the Almighty. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilements of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 6:14-7:11. Those old things are written for examples, and we should be warned.